producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Welcome to the American Family Farmer, the weekly radio program for the small independent farm owners and those interested in how your food gets from the farm to your table. Here's your host, lifelong family farmer, Doug Steffen.
This is the American Family Farmer. I'm Doug Steffen here every week to overview a situation or a problem or a reality that normally rings a bell with small family farmers, people who are in ag businesses that are family operated, the hobby farmer, that sort of thing. So I've invited a couple to bring us around from their life as a dairy family to a new reality. Betsy Fleury and her husband Steve had a dairy farm in Richford, Vermont. Their farm motto had been "Get better, not bigger." But when they sold their 35 registered jerseys at the end of last year, Betsy said, "What, Betsy? What did you say?"
I don't know. I, as I had told someone else, I write better than I speak, so it's hard for me to think on my feet. But so I'm not sure exactly what you're asking.
Well, I guess what I'm interested in is, what decision process did you follow? What thinking went into your getting rid of the dairy cows? I have done the same thing this past year. I had more than you did, but I've been milking cows all my life, been around cows all my life, and I finally said I can't do this. I'm not willing to sacrifice anymore. Decades later, it's enough. With government policy being the way that it is, dealing with some of the big the largest pool our milk goes into is controlled by one source. So we have this universal problem, and because the dairy industry is so illiquid, it's up and down and sideways, you can't wrap your hands around it, and I'm guessing that's probably what happened to you.
I would say that we're in the situation that a lot of farmers are in. We are losing dairy farms rapidly,
yes,
especially here in Vermont.
Yep.
But I think a lot of the reasoning is kind of what our reasoning was. Actually, three different things. Our age, we're getting older. Mm-hmm. Our health, we both had health problems. And the fact that we don't have a succeeding generation. It wasn't, I don't think, so much the milk prices, because we've weathered the ups and downs. There's you know, that three-year dairy cycle, pretty much. And we know it's going to happen, so we just basically weather it. And the government regulations have caused a little more concern in the last few years, but those weren't major considerations. I think the first three things were our major considerations, and we've talked to a lot of farmers since then, and they pretty much say the same things. Those are the big three things for a lot of farmers is both Steve and I were getting older. We didn't have, Steve has two boys, but they're both grown out in the open world. They have very good jobs of their own, and they just really had no desire to take the farm over. And Steve had a quadruple bypass 2 years ago.
Yeah.
2 years ago, and then I flipped the disc last year, and really was unable to do any kind of farm work all year long. So basically, that was our deciding factor. We had, at the beginning of last year, we had kind of sat down, and every year, usually at the beginning of the year, we have kind of a planning process where we go through what happened the previous year and then plan kind of for the following year or the coming year, what we wanted to buy, what we wanted to repair, that kind of thing. But the beginning of this year, we sat down and said, you know, there's things going on in our life. Do we want to continue? How long do we want to continue? And when we started out in 2014 at that point, we said, well, maybe we should wait another 6 years till I could fully retire, and you know, that way we'll, you know where we're at. So we started out at the beginning of that year with a 6-year plan. We basically put together a plan of how we would retire. And by the end of that year, with my back issues and other things, by September of that year, we had cut it down to, no, I think we're going to retire this, you know, as soon as we can sell the cows. So it, you know, it took us a full year to really think it through. But by the end of that year with, and at that point, we did see that the milk prices were lowering. We have had, a few problems with the regulations as far as we have a very old barn, and it's hard for us to keep up with some of the USDA regulations as far as milking equipment and housing conditions and things like that. And so, and then again with the other major issues, we just decided, no, now's a good time to sell. The prices are going to lower. Cow prices were lowering. Milk prices were definitely going to be low this year. So we put the cows on the market. But when we had planned to sell, once we decided we really were going to sell, we determined that we did not want to sell the herd bits and pieces. Mm-hmm. I mean, we put three generations of love and care into the and breeding into our registered Jersey herd, and we wanted to see them go as a group to someone who would continue the breeding, continue the family lines. So it would have been a lot easier for us to just split them up, sell them to a cattle dealer, and not worry about it, and they'd have been gone the next day. But we spent some time and advertised and looked around and finally found a young farmer who's in Londonderry, Vermont, who was just starting a farm, and he wanted to buy the whole herd. And the cows have found a wonderful new home with this young farmer. He loves them to death. He's taking great care of them. He's going to continue the breeding, and we're so pleased with that. That was one of our major issues, was we really wanted to help a young farmer get started. So we were thrilled with where they are. And so we did that, and as far as our land goes, we are renting the crop land out, the hay land out, to another young farmer who's also just barely getting into the dairy business. So, and there again, we had a lot of opportunities to rent the land to. We have a couple of three big farmers surrounding us, and of course, they all want the land, but yeah, we really want to keep it, you know, we want to help the small farm out as much as possible, small farmers out, because Like we said, they're disappearing.
I say the same thing. Yeah, I'm saying the same thing with my farm down here. I'm going through the same things. I'm in Framingham, Massachusetts, and it is the same with me, finding a young couple that can come to the farm and sustain, and not necessarily the dairy operation, but the ag operation on the farm. Let's pause for a minute. We're talking to Stephen and Betsy Fleury. When I say we, I'm talking, and you're listening to our discussion on the American Family Farmer.
Curious about what comes next? Next is the feeling of vulnerability you get after you arrive home to discover your house has been ransacked by burglars. Fool the bad guys with a new improved fake TV. You asked for it, we listened, and we made our new fake TV three times brighter than our previous model. The brightness of our new fake TV is equivalent to a 40-inch TV. It simulates the color and motion of a real TV while you're away from home. And when burglars think someone is home watching television, they're likely to pass your house and move on to an easier target. The new, brighter fake TV is only $39.95 and includes free shipping. Go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388 or go to faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
The results are in. For the treatment of nasal allergy symptoms, nothing is more effective than Nasacort. Nasacort Allergy 24-Hour is prescription-strength medicine that's scent and alcohol-free with no harsh taste. It's non-addictive and provides 24-hour relief of the worst nasal allergy symptoms, including congestion, with no prescription needed. And in a recent clinical study with Nasacort going nose-to-nose with Flonase, more people prefer Nasacort. For more information, visit Nasacort.com. Nasacort. Use as directed.
Geico is available 24/7, unlike Billy, my boyfriend, who is apparently available 24/never. And with Geico's claim status update, after I report a claim, I receive update alerts through my Geico app. Did you hear that, Billy? Update. Alerts. I sure would like to be updated on why you can't return a text. Maybe I should just be dating Geico.
Claim status updates, just a few taps away on the Geico app.
With newly minted high school and college grads pouring out of schools these days, the big question is what gift to buy them. There are watches and jewelry and gift cards, but is there something out there that will get you more for less? The answer is yes. Net10 Wireless is now offering new customers who bring their own phone, BYOP, 5 gigabytes of data at 4G LTE speed, and unlimited talk and text for only $50 a month. Grads will get to keep their phone's network and number. It's easy to switch your phone with BYOP. Just purchase a Net10 BYOP activation kit to use with your compatible phone and follow a few simple instructions to activate it on your current network. What could be better for these job-seeking grads than a high-speed, affordable wireless service like Net10? With no contracts and no credit checks, there are no surprises. Need a gift for that new grad? Log on to net10wireless.com or net10byop.com.
Stephen and Betsy Fleury are here. They had a great, not a wonderful, but a great herd of jerseys. I can tell by looking at the pictures. I had jerseys all these years. Guernseys, too, but more I settled in on the jerseys because they were just the best quality, their eyes, the gentleness of them. I don't know, it just was, I like family cows. At one point in time, I had 500 family cows here, and it gets kind of silly. I'm milking 180 some odd cows in a barn that was actually made to milk 30. So you can imagine what that was like over the course of the day. But the story now becomes more positive. It sounds pretty negative listening to Steve and Betsy talk about their life as dairy farmers and how problematic it is. And, yep, it's hard to find people that want to work and come in, take over, and everybody wants the land, but oftentimes they don't even want to pay what it's worth to use it or to buy it. And so, you know, what do you do after you've worked all this time? You didn't give up. You just changed your focus. What'd you do?
Right. And I'll let Steve answer that one.
Well, you know, it was a three-generation farm, and we weren't going to give up. We were just going to sell it right out. Well, for one thing, we can't. It's my folks, when we kind of leased it. But we've actually gone and sublet it to another young farmer that really wants to get into it. And I think that's great. But the other thing that we've always done here, besides the dairying, was the sugar making. And, of course, Vermont has a rich tradition of it. And that's one thing my grandfather always wanted to do when he bought the farm. So we've had it for generations as the farm was bought in 1929. So we've just kept on going with that. It's a kind of a three-season job, which means it gives us the summers off, which is something I've always wanted to do for a long time. So, but, you know, in the springtime, obviously, we can do the sugaring part. In the fall, I can go out and check all the pipelines and such like that. And in the wintertime, I can cut wood and sugar again and repeat the whole process. But it's going to be a little bit less stress, except actually when the sap's flowing. But other than that, it'll be a lot less stress in the day-to-day life of, milking twice a day and such like that.
All right. So I want to get into the actual operation of this. We'll spend another 3 or 4 minutes on your story if we can. Stephen and Betsy Fleury, who have a farm in Vermont that has great reputation, one of those traditional great old barns. I was tempted to go down the road of taking shots at public officials or public works when it comes to, okay, the barn's not good enough anymore. Well, it was good for 100 years. Why isn't it any good now? That kind of stuff, which nobody can give you an explanation for. It's just the rules change. Well, the rules change why? Because somebody wants them to, and most of the time people who make those decisions don't know what they're talking about. So, but I'd rather keep it more positive and talk about your new life in the maple sugaring business. So that's how we'll finish up our conversation in just a few moments here. On the American Family Farmer, I'm Doug Steffen.
Help Healthy elimination is essential to high energy, a cheerful mood, and prevention of disease. Some of the founders of our modern holistic health thinking state that disease begins in a toxic colon. A toxic intestinal tract is the foundation for virtually all degenerative disease, and a clean and well-moving intestinal tract is the foundation of health.
I just want to say that you folks have an amazing product. I've taken whey protein products for years, and I've never noticed results I have with your product. I've suffered with thoughts of constipation most of my life. Within a few days of taking One World Whey, I noticed a dramatic change. Also, in the past few years, I've experienced symptoms associated with diabetes. I feel horrible when I've had too much sugar, and I've been getting the foot pain as well. But I've noticed in the past week or so, I'm not feeling bad anymore, and the foot pain is gone. I'm just finishing up the 5-pound tub I ordered and just got off the phone ordering more. I love your product. Thank you.
Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Stephen and Betsy Fleury are here with me. I'm Doug Steffen. This is the American Family Farmer, a weekly overview of the life and times of many people, whether they be family farmers, whether they be in the family ag business, whether they're hobby farmers. There's so many things that are going on a lot of these great farms around the country. This is a story of a couple from Vermont who were dairying, and they decided it just didn't make sense anymore. So they just decided to stop, sold the cows, and have started maple sugaring. So what does it entail? Is it enough? You can do it. You don't sound like you're overly busy, Steve. Can you swap the income from the dairy and equalize it with the sugaring and working to cut wood and sell it? I'm guessing that's what you do with the wood you cut. Or are you all the woods you're cutting using that to boil the maple syrup?
That's the idea. No, we're cutting wood not just for income's sake, just to actually keep the it going. Actually, the maple sugaring business isn't going to make us what we made for the dairying, but it's just one of those things where we're swapping a little bit of stress, a lot more, less stress than what we had, mm-hmm. And we actually are going to expand it. We don't have all the woods tapped yet. So,
explain what that means when you say tapped.
When we actually drill the holes into the trees.
Yeah.
And right now we have 2,000 of those holes that we put in the trees every spring, and we have the potential to do another 1,000. So that'll bring us up to 3,000, almost about 3,500. When I've got another little woods there to figure in with that. That'll give us something to do. You know, we'll do boil some of the syrup off, some of the sap off in the syrup, and a lot of it we also sell to another maple sugar maker that it comes in. He buys sap and he pays us for that. So that's going to be what we're going to have for working income. Obviously we've had to retire a little bit off from what we made off the cows and what we're selling for machinery and such, but that's pretty much it right there.
No, I spent quite a bit of time. I'm the financial, like, I do all the books for the farm and the taxes and all. And this past year, I spent a lot of time going over whether we could financially retire. Originally the income from sugaring was about 10% of our total income, so 90% came from the dairy. But we are expanding, so I'm hoping to get that, you know, up a little bit, the income up. Plus the fact that I am at I worked off the farm for quite a few years and put a lot of money in 401ks. So we have the income from that to live on. We'll have our Social Security income to live on in a few years. We're not quite at retirement age yet, for Social Security. And, I think we can do it. I mean, I've spent a long, long time going over our income and with the savings that I was able to put away from 30 years of working off the farm, because I did work off the farm until just a few years ago when Steve's dad had a heart attack and could no longer help my husband. I had a lot set aside. So, yes, I think we're going to be okay. Sale of the cows, put some income in our checking account. Yeah. Maple sugaring will help, and then the retirement income will help. So, and we never lived a high lifestyle. I don't think too many dairy farmers do.
No, that's for sure.
Many farmers do.
Yeah.
So we know how to live on a shoestring, and I think we're going to be fine.
Well, I think it's a great story for people to hear and to read about. You can go to flurries.maple.hill.farm, flurys.maple.hill.farm, to see the story of Betsy and her husband Steve. And maybe this is an idea. The reason I wanted to hear the people, these folks on the program, was to tell the story so that you could maybe think about this as an option to what you're thinking about doing as you move ahead toward retirement. Can your farm be used for this sort of thing? Thank you very much, Stephen and Betsy Fleury from Vermont, here on the American Family Farmer. I'm Doug Steffen.
Suffering from EP. The symptoms include fraudulent charges to your credit card. Your subway card says it's empty, but you bought it yesterday. Someone's been in your hotel room, but the desk clerk says they only show you entering the room. These are signs of EP, electronic pickpocketing. Payment cards, transit cards, even hotel room keys use a radio chip, so you can just wave your card at the register, the turnstile, or your hotel room door. But what's convenient for you is also convenient for thieves, waving scanners to electronically pickpocket you without even touching you. The good news is there's a cure. ID Stronghold has created leather wallets and clutches that have built-in EP protection. Layers of shielding material cleverly concealed in a beautiful leather wallet that stops the symptoms of EP. Go to IDStronghold.com now and get the cure. IDStronghold.com. Warning, ID Stronghold wallets could lead to feelings of safety and security, comfort in crowds, and euphoria. If you experience these emotions, immediately inform your friends and family about IDStronghold.com so they can feel better too.
The human body is extraordinary, despite all the stress we inflict upon it. Thousands of people across the country use an extremely effective product to help their bodies stay balanced. It's Heart and Body Extract, an all-natural herbal formula designed to help maintain healthy blood pressure, clean arteries, promote good circulation, and balance cholesterol. Heart and Body Extract, along with good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free from pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of Heart and Body Extract. Learn more and read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers at heartandbody.com. Heart and Body Extracts offers a lifetime guarantee with no price increase in over 14 years. For free info, call 866-295-5305 now. That's 866-295-5305 or heartandbody.com. Distributor inquiries welcome. 866-295-5305.
We are the premier independent talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
It's absolutely heartbreaking. All over America, people are suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, irregular heartbeat, clogged arteries, and high cholesterol. Can you live your life free from sickness, pain, and fear, and experience your body healing itself? Look to Heart and Body Extract, an all-natural supplement that aids ailing bodies. It has an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. End the pain without all the side effects of prescription drugs. People people 20 years younger will envy your vitality. Want a happier, healthier you? Then go to heartandbody.com or call toll-free 866-295-5305 for free information. Heart and Body Extract offers a lifetime guarantee with no price increase in over 14 years. What are you waiting for? Call Heart and Body now at 866-295-5305 for your free information. Go to heartandbody.com, 866-295-5305. Distributor inquiries welcome.
You pick up the receiver. With your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead, you finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the state you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out.
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you.
Caller, are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Jason! Going once, twice. Okay, we gotta move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait, no!
Interact with the host you're listening to right now online at GCNLive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at GCNLive.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy. And get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
This is the American Family Farmer. I'm Doug Steffen, here every week at this time to overview some of the problems that those of you who are small family operators, family farmers, the people that are in ag businesses that have small businesses but they have an agricultural background, the people who are hobby farmers, a lot of things going on in those worlds that are difficult to deal with. So we're here with suggestions on how you might want to approach certain common problems. Invited Rachel Armstrong, who's the founder of Farm Commons, to be with us on this part of the program. Her passion for farming goes back to the days when she said, quote, "I want to be a farmer when I grow up." I think I said that too, as a matter of fact. Rachel, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right. So what is Farm Commons? The website farmcommons.com. What do you do to help farmers?
Well, Farm Commons is dedicated to helping farmers understand how the law affects their operation. And we really focus on folks who are selling direct to consumer and pursuing some of the more alternative agricultural markets that that folks are exploring these days. So we go through a whole range of legal issues that folks might encounter as they start and run their farm business.
Would you say that you're wrapped up in the so-called locavore movement? You're familiar with that term?
We definitely touch on that. Yeah. There are some fascinating legal issues that come along with selling directly to the consumer, and it's a legal area that's a bit underdeveloped. There aren't a lot of attorneys who focus on these issues, so it can be a brave new world in some ways.
Why is it not developed? Because it's just expanding, or because there haven't been any lawsuits, or because lawyers haven't looked at it enough to figure out how they can make a buck? It could be any one of those things, brother. Huh?
You know, we think of direct-to-consumer farming as, you know, the most ancient form of commerce that we might have. I mean, haven't we always bought from farmers? But when you think about it, much of the case law, much of the law that we have has evolved over, the past 60, 80 years? That's also the same time frame in which farmers were moving away from direct to consumer. So the body of law that we have really doesn't reflect that reality of farming. It's really geared more towards what we understand to be the conventional farm today.
Mm-hmm. So in terms of what Farm Commons does, again, the website is farmcommons.com. What is it that people need the most? When you talk about the small family farmer, that unit, or the ag businesses, maybe even the hobby farmers, where do most of the problems arise?
I see a lot of issues arise just with risk management. So what are some of the bad things that could happen to my business, and how do I deal with them? A lot of the ways farmers deal with these issues is insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So understanding how insurance works, when you need it, that's a key area of our work. And farmers are looking for another source of information aside from just their insurance agent. And that's not to knock insurance agents. They're incredibly important and are a partner in the team. But farmers are rightfully skeptical of anyone who's trying to sell them anything. So I help farmers understand, you know, the role that insurance plays and how to make that decision, considering, you know, we don't have a ton of extra money to throw around, and we need to be, you know, very diligent about the risk management strategies we take. Insurance is just one way that we help farmers manage risk. We talk a lot about employment laws. These can be sticky, difficult to understand, paperwork burdensome. So, you know, I help farmers break that down so that they can move forward with some confidence in understanding their employment law obligations.
How much push?
You know, the list goes on. Too.
How much pushback? Let me interrupt for a second because I want to know about pushback. Pushing back government programs are most often not aimed, in my estimation, at really helping the situation. They help the government get bigger and stronger, and we find ourselves battling with the government, using our money to fight our money, in a sense. There are some things over the years that have been observed that need to be fixed, but most of us who are doing this, I'm a dairy farmer, and I'm really tired, frankly, of the government. I'm tired of being told that I'm wrong when I'm not. I'm tired of having people who don't know what they're talking about tell me what I need to do. So I basically gave up on selling. I had raw milk dairy farm, and I just said, enough. But there are plenty of people who are doing all kinds of things that are running into these, and they need people like you, because now there is a lawyer that works for the government, and he says to you, you can't do this, and you know, he's interpreted the law one way, but you as a lawyer might interpret the law some other way, and so might the farmer. So unless you can stand up against the people who say this is what you have to do, when in fact that isn't really what you have to do at all, they run rampant and scare a lot of people, and they're not your friend. I mean, that's the way I read it anyway. Maybe once in a while it would be great if somebody came in from the government and said, I'm here from the government and I'm going to help you. We all laugh out loud at that. Wouldn't it be great if, in fact, they were there to help? But that's not really what most people see. And so I wonder whether you get involved in some of the things like the water, the whole business of legislation, safe waters, all of that sort of thing, the encroachment on farmland more and more, what's a wetland. Do you get into those sorts of issues? And if so, how do you work with the farmers to solve them?
Right, right. Great question. Farm Commons takes a proactive approach. We understand that sometimes bad things happen and folks need emergency help now when problems have already developed. But we feel we can have the most impact when we help farmers understand what the rules are beforehand. Then we're in the best possible position to be proactive and to, you know, if there's a government agency that doesn't agree with our interpretation, we have a better chance of convincing them of that when there's not an enforcement action that's happening. When we can say, hey, guys, it looks like a little bit of confusion here. You know, can we talk about this?
Mm-hmm.
Can we, you know, discuss what might be the preferred approach? Once things get adversarial, you know, the lines start to be drawn.
Yep.
And that's not not always the best position for the farmer to be in. So we focus on creating dialogue and understanding about what the law says right now. Now, we're a non-political organization, so when farmers get upset about that, we say, all right, well, you know what to do. That's, you know, that's not what, we don't help express that anger, but you know where to go. There's folks out there who will help you do that. Learning what the law says now is the very first step to solving some of the problems that, that folks encounter and figuring that out before we're in an adversarial position.
Mm-hmm. So what are some of the things that are becoming most common issue? We'll pause for a second. I want to get back to some of the specifics about circumstances. Again, I'm thinking about the water legislation, what we have to do for that. Now that there are drones around, what sort of legal issues are they going to remember? If somebody wants to hire a drone, buy a drone to use to crop dust, for example, what kind of a minefield is that? We're having a conversation with Rachel Armstrong, who's the founder of Farm Commons, website farmcommons.org. Back with Rachel in a moment. I'm Doug Steffen on the American Family Farmer.
As an extension of the Love Your Curls movement, Dove Hair has launched a new book, Love Your Curls, to inspire confidence in women and young girls. Here to tell us more about it, author and best-selling novelist Taye Selassie.
When Dove Hair discovered that women and girls with curly hair tend to feel less confident, they were inspired to act. Love Your Curls is a poetic tribute to curly hair that is intended to represent and inspire curly girls of all ages. Dove Hair is committed to creating a world where beauty is a source of confidence, not anxiety, and believes that all women can set a positive example for the next generation by expressing their own beauty with confidence. Over the course of the Love Your Curls movement, Dove Hair received thousands of stories, photos, and messages of celebration from women with curly hair. These stories from real women directly inspired the Love Your Curls book, and the hope is that it will be shared with curly girls everywhere to empower them to love their natural curls.
Download it for free at dove.com/loveyourcurls and dedicate it to a curly girl in your life.
The results are in. For the treatment of nasal allergy symptoms, nothing is more effective than Nasacort. Nasacort Allergy 24-Hour is prescription-strength medicine that's scent and alcohol-free with no harsh taste. It's non-addictive and provides 24-hour relief of the worst nasal allergy symptoms, including congestion, with no prescription needed. And in a recent clinical study with Nasacort going nose-to-nose with Flonase, more people prefer Nasacort. For more information, visit Nasacort.com. Nasacort. Use as directed.
Curious about what comes next? Next is the feeling of vulnerability you get after you arrive home to discover your house has been ransacked by burglars. Fool the bad guys with a new improved Fake TV. You asked for it, we listened, and we made our new Fake TV 3 times brighter than our previous model. The brightness of our new Fake TV is equivalent to a 40-inch TV. It simulates the color and motion of a real TV while you're away from home. And when burglars think someone is home watching television, they're likely to pass your house and move on to an easier target. The new, brighter Fake TV is only $39.95 and includes free shipping. Go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388 or go to faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Help! I'm tied up in my hotel rewards program. I'll never get enough points to make it worth my while.
Never fear. Instant Man is here.
Instant Man?
I'm the America's best value and Instant Man, here to save you with instant rewards.
What do you mean?
Join our free value club and get 15% off room upgrades and late checkout when available instantly.
No waiting, no points.
Just register at ABVI.com.
Oh, Instant Man, you and America's best value and saved me. Instantly.
Geico is available 24/7. Unlike Billy, my boyfriend, who is apparently available 24/never. And with Geico's claim status update, after I report a claim, I receive update alerts through my Geico app. Did you hear that, Billy? Update. Alerts. I sure would like to be updated on why you can't return a text. Maybe I should just be dating Geico.
Claim status updates, just a few taps away on the Geico app.
Rachel Armstrong runs the Farm Commons website, farmcommons.org. Our aim here in this program every week is to spend an hour overviewing some of the problems that many of you, many of us have in trying to break through, whether it be government difficulties, some of the big commodities, people that are trying to buy your products, whether dealing with the people who come to your farm, maybe they fall down and they hurt themselves, so they want to sue you. But because there's so many lawyers, this is a great place to go try to, you know, the people that own a lot of land, everybody think, oh, wow, that guy's got a lot of money. Look at all the land he's got. There may be a heavy mortgage on that, but people aren't thinking necessarily. They just want to take. Do you think that's part of it, just the whole litigiousness of our society? Never mind farming, just in general, Rachel.
Gosh, that is a heavy question. I think that yes, in some ways, we do have a bent towards litigation, but I also think in some ways that's the system that we have designed for ourselves. We have said if you're injured, then you sue to recover for that. And to be honest, it's often not the individual who's choosing to make that decision. It's their insurance company. It's their health insurer. When we buy health insurance, we sign over our right to sue in our own name should we be injured. So if we're not the one paying the bills actually to treat ourselves, we've handed over that right. And it's, you know, is it, you know, and then the farmer's expected to have insurance too. So we're all swapping money or, you know, it's going from one pocket to the other, and this is the system we have made for ourselves. We don't have this is how we pay for health care. This is how we manage our legal obligations. So I guess I'm a little bit, you know, touch of fatalism there about it. If we wanted to change that, it certainly would be within our power. But this is the way we've set it up.
How do you see the influence of drones as we move ahead in the future? It appears to me that dairy farmers and truck farmers, people who are growing vast amounts of corn, beans, that sort of thing, will use drones to apply. Mm-hmm. They're not going to plant with drones, but they'll certainly have spraying done, spraying cattle, spraying crops. So what are the legal areas? It seems to me this is wide open country because the drones are so new. Yeah, do you know any farmers that are actually using drones?
I have heard of it. I don't know any farmers personally who are using drones, but it is a hot legal subject. A lot of people are talking about it. You know, what can we do with drones? How can it be more effective? And then what are the rights that a person should have to stop drones from coming onto their property? It's uncharted territory at this point.
All right. And what sort of do you advise clients? Yeah, go ahead, go get a drone and use it because it's less expensive or hire one. Or would you say better stay away from it until everything is clear?
That's a good question. I have to admit, my clients are not the types that would be considering a drone anyways because they just don't have that kind of, kind of acreage or scale of production. Mm-hmm. I focus on those who sell direct to consumer. So we're generally at a smaller scale. If I had a client, bring that issue up to me, I would say, oh boy, we're way outside my area of expertise. Better talk to someone else.
Yeah. So the most common, how would you spend your day? Describe a typical day and the kinds of cases that you're working on right now.
You know, these days I've been focusing a bit on processing regulations. We're talking here about a regulatory heavy world. You know, you've got some poultry. You would like to slaughter them, prepare them for market. What can you do? What can you not do? What are all the limitations on that? Farmers are the most creative people I know, and they're always coming up with new ways to acquire equipment together, share labor in processing, developing new marketing entities, especially as the direct-to-consumer market explodes these days. But the regulations weren't designed with these goals in mind, and we are trying to figure out how government will interpret some of these regulations, how the creativity of the farmer can be encouraged and supported while the government tries to do its job in protecting, you know.
But, you've got a cynic here. I don't think the government is in business to protect me at all. I'm not even sure it's in business to protect the public at large. I think it's just in business to sustain itself. And thus we have all the problems that we do. That's just me and my cynical overview. But I am happy to have your expertise here, giving people an idea of where to go to get legal help for some of these issues. So it's farmcommons.org, farmcommons.org, to reach out to Rachel and see if she might be able to help you if you have some legal problems. Thank you very much, Rachel. A pleasure to meet you and have you here on the American Family Farmer.
Are you suffering from EEP? The symptoms include fraudulent charges to your credit card. Your Subway card says it's empty, but you bought it yesterday. Someone's been in your hotel room, but the desk clerk says they only show you entering the room. These are signs of EEP, electronic pickpocketing. Payment cards, transit cards, even hotel room keys use a radio chip, so you can just wave your card at the register, the turnstile, or your hotel room door. But what's convenient for you is also convenient for thieves, waving scanners to electronically pickpocket you without even touching you. The good news is there's a cure. ID Stronghold has created leather wallets and clutches that have built-in EP protection. Layers of shielding material cleverly concealed in a beautiful leather wallet that stops the symptoms of EP. Go to IDStronghold.com now and get the cure. IDStronghold.com. Warning, ID Stronghold wallets could lead to feelings of safety and security, comfort in crowds, and euphoria. If you experience these emotions, immediately inform your friends and family about IDStronghold.com so they can feel better too.
We all know that Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water filtration systems. The Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
This is the American Family Farmer. I'm Doug Steffen, dairy farmer, raising heifers all my life. I've grown corn all my life to feed to my animals. I'm not in the produce business. I have a friend in the town where I live and work on the farm that shares the land, the available land with me. He's a truck farmer. That's how we've always referred to what he does. Raises produce, sells it at his farm, same as I sell dairy at my farm. We do not go out and sell wholesale. And so, but we don't have, we have dairy and we have produce. We don't have chickens. We're not growing chickens to be used for meat, that sort of thing. And I now want to focus on that with you in my weekly comment. The amount of chicken that we're eating, so much so that chicken farmers are producing 160 million chicks a week. Did you know that, just to keep up with national consumption of chicken? 160 million chicks a week. Despite the industry's massive output, a lot of contract farmers are living near or below the poverty line. And many of them are white, working under the constant fear of losing their jobs. That's because the business model is such that farmers own the equipment used to raise the chickens and corporations own the chickens. So what does that mean? As far as you're concerned, that essentially means that you own everything that costs money and they own everything that makes money. Doesn't that, hello, right? Think about that. The most damning part of the segment of our population that is in the farming business, especially when it comes to chicken, you look at some of the people that are running this organization, the National Chicken Council. Tom Super is the, I think, president of this group. He was asked why farmers live under the poverty line and why would they want to continue that lifestyle. His answer, quote, "Which poverty line are you referring to? Is that a national poverty line? Is that a state poverty line? Is that, poverty line? What's the poverty line in the state where you live? It's different in Massachusetts than it is in Mississippi, I can tell you that right now. Different in New York City than it is in Alabama. So what does matter when you think about it? What matters to you? If you're raising chickens, you're raising pork, you're raising beef, you're selling eggs, you're selling rhubarb, I don't care what you're selling, but the way that the public looks at this, they want cheap chicken. If I go back to the, they want cheap pork, they want cheap beef, they want cheap produce, they want cheap, cheap, cheap. So how does that square against what you have to do to stay in business so that these people can eat your product and they stay healthy? What is it that you can do? And my bottom line suggestion, after listening to the two people that were on the program this week, especially the lawyer dealing with some of the issues that farmers have to deal with, I see an ad in one of the trades all the time for a lawyer who is a farmer. And if you want somebody to understand your business, talk to somebody who's in it. And thus, this fellow who's a farmer is a part-time farmer. He's a full-time lawyer. He deals with some of these things. You know what? When it gets right down to brass tacks, the chicken industry and how they've been basically screwing over poor farmers, not any different than the dairy business, where the dairy farmer has been screwed for years. It all gets down to government and government influence. You think the people that run those processing plants don't give as much as they can to particular, especially if it's from their home state, to particular campaigns? The world of money has obfuscated what's going on in the farming world in our country. At some point in time, I want to get a list of all of the people in rural states who are in the Senate, maybe the House, just so I can, I mean, I know most of them. I can tell you a little bit about them. But that's not, we spend so much time, again, back making reference to what we were just talking about here. What in the world is going to come of the continuing influence and interference from the government and big business when it comes to the small family farmer? I can't begin to imagine that in 20 or 30 years we're going to be able to sustain what's going on now on the family farm. But yet, as people are driven off the family farm and nobody's using it except maybe for development, where is it going to be 20 years from now when we have to feed in? By the year 2050, there are going to be twice as many people alive on the planet, twice as many people to feed. Where is that food going to come from? I think that's what we need to be thinking about. What regulations can be pushed aside to make it easier and better for us to grow more food for ourselves and for our fellow man in countries where they don't have an agricultural business? I think that's something to think about. Hopefully you will. Comments from Doug Steffen on the American Family Farmer. Thanks for being with us this week.
Usually, the older one gets, the less you are able to absorb amino acids and the less you are able to repair the 100 trillion cells of your body. As a result, you'll have less energy, your tissues will shrink, and you'll become wrinkled. An older person will typically injure more easily and heal more slowly. Not fun. However, if you could consume a protein powder that is easier to absorb, then you may be able to gain back some strength, muscle, and speed of recovery. One World Whey is a highly digestible whey protein powder that may be the perfect answer for you.
My name is Errol. I'm 74 years old. You know, the taste of One World Whey is amazing. I play pickleball, and since taking One World Whey and your trace mineral supplement, I have more energy and recover faster from my working out. I used to take another grass-fed whey protein powder, but now I'm getting much better results using One World Whey.
Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit OneWorldWhey.com.